So I've named my preach Higher Love. So what I want to talk to you all about is my story over the past 22 months and my God SWOT and the impact life events can have on our relationship with God. I'm sure most of you will know what a SWOT analysis is. You've probably done it in your workplaces. But for those of you that don't know what a SWOT analysis is, it's an incredibly simple yet powerful tool that can be used in most organisations. So within healthcare, which is obviously where I've used it before at work, it can be related to an aspect of care you would like to improve. It can also provide a snapshot of your nursing career and your personal strengths and weaknesses. You can use a SWOT analysis to assess your organisation's current position before you decide on a new strategy. And as you can see, the SWOT analysis stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and strengths. So what I've done is a God SWOT. So I have done this about my faith and everything. So most of it is quite self-explanatory, so I don't need to go through all of it. But some of them I'll explain now and others I'll explain as I go through. So in the weaknesses, you can see that I put concealing my own emotions. So as one of my strengths, I said I'm quite an optimistic person. So I try to see the good in everything. And I would say that Nathan's actually quite pessimistic, which I think that's why we're quite good together, because I bring him up when he's feeling down. But sometimes that means that I don't always show my true emotions because I'm trying to hide them to be strong for everyone else. So I put that down as a weakness. Before Jesse came along, my faith had never been tested before. So I felt like that was a weakness because you never know how you're going to react in those situations. And I also put my prayer life, because although I like to pray and prayed regularly, I'd never had to pray for something like that felt so important to me. And then the other two things I'll kind of discuss as I go along. So on the 4th of February 2018, Jesse came along and everything was wonderful and perfect, as you can imagine. We had him home for 3 weeks and it was lovely. But as most of you know, 3 weeks later, Jesse got really sick and we ended up having to take him into the children's hospital. So I'm just going to give you like a little background story. I know most of you know what happened, but just to kind of set the scene. Jesse was 3 weeks old, and that day I thought that something was wrong. Jesse had stopped feeding, and the night before he hadn't really wanted to feed either. I remember phoning the health visitor because I was a bit concerned, and she said, oh, we'll get him into clinic. But as the day went on, he got more and more unwell. He became very cold, and Nathan was at work, and I remember phoning him saying, I don't think Jesse's very well. I think we need to take him to hospital. Most of you know that it was also snowing really heavily that day, so Nathan was actually going to stay the night because they wanted him to stay to work the next day. But he came home, and then we were home for about 15 minutes, and then we thought, right, we need to take him to hospital now. But just in that short period of time, Nathan's car had actually got snowed in and we couldn't get his car out. He did have one of those big Vauxhall Insignias, so it would have been a lot more practical than trying to take my car. I've got a little Vauxhall Corsa. But it was sheltered under the trees, so we actually managed to get my car out. It's a miracle we even made it to hospital. Nathan went through quite a few red lights to get there, but we got there. And then I remember Nathan dropped me off and I just ran in and said to the lady at the desk, my baby's not very well. And they sent a nurse out who took him in. She did some observations and found that his temperature was 33.3 and his heart rate was 66. That might not mean anything to some people, but that means he's really sick. So his heart rate should have been double that and his temperature a lot higher. So he was really cold. For those of you that don't know, I work in the emergency department in adults, So kind of you think having a bit of knowledge would actually be quite comforting, but actually I found it quite the other way, because then the nurse said, oh, I'm taking this baby into recess, and then six doctors appeared out of nowhere, and I know that you're lucky to get one doctor because the department's so busy all the time. So the fact that there was suddenly a whole team meant that he was really sick. And then they were struggling to get some IV access on him so they could give him drugs and things. And they had to try and put, it's called an interosseous needle, which goes into the bone, and they tried three times. They couldn't get that either. Eventually, they got one in the top of his head. And then you can get like a really quick blood test. It's called blood gas. And whilst you're waiting for the official blood results. And so what happens in an emergency situation, because there's so many people there, the nurse that's got it will read out the results so that everyone can know what's going on with that patient. So again, they start reading out these results, and obviously I know what all of them should be. And so I remember looking to Nathan being like, he's really sick. So you can imagine like how hard that was. Like they were levels that, you know, are not compatible with life all the time. So you can imagine how that felt, knowing that actually he is really, really sick. So anyway, we got him to the ward. He went to the high dependency unit, but they couldn't figure out what was wrong with Jesse. At first they thought he might be septic, then they thought he might have meningitis, but all of these tests came back negative. Jesse then went into heart failure and renal failure, and none of the doctors could explain why this was happening. So eventually, I think maybe we'd been in hospital for about 2 weeks at that point, they decided to do a genetic screen in case he had some weird genetic disease. So for those of you that don't know, at this point we didn't know that Jesse had Down syndrome. I didn't get any genetic testing when I was pregnant, because for me it really didn't make a difference, and so I chose not to have any of that, so we didn't know. And when he was really little, it wasn't particularly obvious that he had Down syndrome. So the results came back, and obviously they had found out that he had Down syndrome. At this point, so Jesse had been very up and down. One minute he would be very, very sick, and they would be saying that we needed to prepare ourselves that he might actually die. And then one minute he would be coming up a bit, and it was very up and down for a long time. But at this point, when they told us about the Down syndrome, we were kind of on an up. So hearing that was like really shocking for us. As you can imagine, it was just unexpected. And I guess you have this image of how your child is going to be, and you have these plans, you think in the future, what you're going to do. And then suddenly it felt like, oh, none of that was going to happen anymore. So that was really hard. But the way I look at it now is, one in 1,000 children are born with Down syndrome. And I feel like I'm so lucky that I have Jesse. Like, he's such a blessing. And how special is that, that I've got Jesse, and only one in 1,000 people get to have a child with Down syndrome. So for me, it was, now I feel like it's just a massive blessing. So at this point, still didn't know what was wrong with Jesse. The Down syndrome didn't explain why he was so sick. So they did something called a short synaptin test. And it came back that Jesse has an adrenal insufficiency. So the reason why he was so sick is because he'd gone into adrenal crisis. So he's now on replacement therapies, hydrocortisone 4 times a day. And he's been well since. We've not had any more problems at all. I mean, obviously, you always worry in the back of your head that it might happen again. But we know about it now, and he's just doing absolutely fantastic. And then shortly after, we were discharged from hospital. And yeah, so that's that. So we were there for about, it was just over a month, I think. So what the reason why I wanted to tell you that story is so I can talk about how that affected my faith during that period. So where do we turn to when we're feeling like, you know, in that desperate moment? And obviously, these are the things, the obvious things, so the Bible, prayer, music and friends. So we start with the Bible. So you, everyone knows all these scriptures and you have them up your sleeve and, you know, ready. But when you're in that situation, it's really difficult to remember these these scriptures. But we'll have a look at some of them now. So Psalm 121:1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So that's really, really great. But sometimes it's really hard to, like, although you know these scriptures, putting them into practice and thinking about them, it can be really challenging. I've got another one, Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And another one, Psalm 29:11. May the Lord give strength to his people. May he bless them with peace. And although I knew that God was with me, it was really hard to find peace in that situation. I mean, I think that's incredible, that testimony that Pauline shared about how she was able to give her son over to God. And if I'm honest, I don't think I ever felt like I could do that. But I did know that God was there watching over me and Jesse. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about was prayer. So I did pray, and I remember praying over his cot, but I didn't really know what to... I found it really difficult, and I found it really hard, if I'm honest, because I just remember thinking, like, God's given me this wonderful gift. Why would he take it away from me? And being really hard to know what to say. But then in that situation, that's when I had all of you lot who were praying on our behalf. I knew that everyone in the church was praying for Jesse. Sally wrote this beautiful book which she gave me afterwards. She'd written down all her prayers that she had been praying over Jesse, and that was really special. And I remember Adrian message saying that he had actually got on a bus and travelled into the BRI and had stood outside the children's hospital and just sat there praying over Jesse. And I just remember thinking, like, it's so wonderful. Although I was finding it difficult, knowing that everyone else praying for me was really, really, like, incredible. And then that moves on to friends. Having those Christian friends to support you through is really, really important. And the whole time I was in hospital, I only left once, and we thought it would be good to come away, and we had like a lunch at Kim and Richard's, and I remember just feeling like horrible. Like, I felt guilty for leaving Jesse, but I also didn't want anyone to ask me how I was. I didn't want anyone to ask how Jesse was, because I didn't want to talk about it. And I remember I shut myself away in the little sitting room, and I remember Louise Panska just came in. I can't really remember what she said, but I remember she just sat there with me. And we just talked, and I just remember feeling like how special that was. And all the visitors, everyone came in every day. I had someone coming in from the church, sitting with me, praying with me. And that was really, really, really special. And I don't know how we would have got through that without all of you. And the last thing for me that I wanted to talk about is music. So I've mentioned that I found it difficult to read my Bible and to pray in this situation. But what I did have was my radio. I bought it in. So Kim and Richard bought this for me for Christmas. I think the Christmas before Jesse was born. And it's the best present I've ever had. So I had this, I got Nathan to bring it in, and I had it in the room. And it was on 24 hours a day. I never turned it off. And I just listened to the UCB radio. And just listening to the worship songs, listening to like the different preachers, was my way of staying connected with God. And although I felt like I couldn't pick up my Bible, just hearing it 24 hours a day was, you know, covering me with God's word. And I remember there was this one song that kept playing over and over again, and it was called Shelter. And one of it's all about Psalm 91. And I remember Helen Gossage gave me this psalm ages ago, and I've never forgotten it. I've always loved this psalm. And the whole song is about this psalm and this particular bit. So he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. So I knew that God was covering Jesse with his feathers. I knew that he was protecting him and he was looking out for him. And that did give me peace eventually. I knew I just had to think that. And that was what really helped me. So how can life events impact our relationship and walk with God? So it can be really hard, really hard. And I think it's really important to have things that surround you to help you through those times. You need to find your way of you know, you can't really prepare yourself, I don't think, but if you have those things, then that can really help you. So if we go back, this was my God swap before Jesse. So I've actually done one afterwards. So I could probably add some more things to it, but as you can see, I've moved some of the things across. So I feel I've moved my prayer life from a threat to a strength, because actually, although I felt I couldn't pray in that situation or very little, I feel like I've realised how, like, I always knew it, but how important prayer is, and just seeing like everyone else praying, I feel like has really had an impact on my prayer life, and I feel like I pray a lot more about even just really simple little things all the time now. So I feel like that's definitely a strength for me. And obviously now I feel like my faith has been tested. So I've moved that into a strength. But I've also put in the threats of becoming complacent, because you never know if anything's going to happen again. So I feel like you can't get complacent with your faith. You need to keep that relationship with Jesus. Keep everything fresh so you're ready. And then I put experiencing God's power, because you know that I definitely experienced God's power in that situation. And then relationships, because everyone was so incredible, and I feel like I don't have many Christian friends my age, but there's so many powerful women of God in this church that have really supported me through this. So I've got Mrs. P, Helen, obviously Kim, and Louise Penska. Like, Mrs. P used to take me out for coffee after we got out. We used to go to Daisy's regularly, and it's so special having those relationships. So I just kind of wanted to move on to promises. So as I mentioned, it was obviously snowing the night. So this is actually a picture Nathan took the next morning. So this is how it looked the night we tried to take Jesse to hospital. So I don't, for those of you, this is our garden, and that wall is probably about that high. And you can't even see that there's a wall. So last year, so obviously a year after everything that had happened, when the weather forecast, you know, everyone was saying, oh, it's going to snow. And normally growing up, I loved the snow, but I remember feeling like sick, anxious, and I guess it was bringing back all those memories from when Jesse got sick. And I was really struggling, and I felt like I was getting really emotional, and I'm thinking, this is really silly. But then I felt God talking to me, saying, actually, the snow is a reminder of how I brought Jesse through this situation, that I never left you and that I was with you. So actually look at the snow as a positive thing rather than a negative thing. Most of you will know this verse from Genesis. I have set my rainbow on the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So I remember God saying, like, the snow is your rainbow. And then, so I just encourage you to think about, what does your rainbow look like? This is my rainbow. And I've just got one final testimony. Most of you know that me and Nathan are in the process of moving house. This is the house before. It's all going okay. But 2 weeks ago, we had a phone call from the lady buying our house saying that her buyers had pulled out, so she could no longer buy a house, but we'd already got all the solicitors involved, so we were going to lose a lot of money if we couldn't sell our house. So we were told we had to put our house back on the market, but last time it had taken nearly 12 weeks to sell, so it was likely, you know, we could end up losing our house. So as you can imagine, that was another stressful situation. Nathan was very upset about it all. But the next morning I got up and I pulled my curtains and it was snowing, only a little bit, and I think it only snowed for about half an hour. But I remember thinking, that's God telling me that that's your house, you just have to trust in me. Yeah. And 3 days later we sold our house. So, and to a first time buyer with no chain, so it's perfect, the best it could have been. So I guess in summary, I want you to think about, what does your rainbow look like? What promises has God got over your life? And what means do you turn to in times of testing? That's it.